Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You're listening to The Other Connor Podcast, a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Here's your host, Connor Halley.
Hello, Oilers fans. Thank you once again for tuning in to The Other Connor Podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Connor Halley. You can give me a follow on Twitter at Connor Halley. Before we get to the show today, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, DraftKings. I'll tell you a little bit more about them later on in the show, but if you're going to sign up, you want to play some daily fantasy sports, I highly recommend you do so with DraftKings and make sure to use promo code THPN. Great show coming up today on the Other Connor Podcast. We will be joined by Alan Mitchell, of course, with TSN 1260 and The Athletic. The Edmonton Oilers off to a hot start, 5-0 on the season, coming off the big win in Vegas on a Saturday night. Since then, of course, a couple days off for the boys. I know they got some golf in. They got to go watch that Eagles and Raiders game. Alan Mitchell is a big Eagles fan, so we'll get his thoughts on that game and what the Oilers got a chance to witness in Las Vegas. We're also going to talk to Jordan Hall. He covers the Philadelphia Flyers, another Philadelphia team here, for NBC Sports Philadelphia. And, of course, that is the Oilers' next opponent on Wednesday. It's an 8 o'clock start, so a little bit of a later one. Pre-game coverage on TSN 1260 starting at 6. Tom Gazzola, Matt Cassian, and myself. But the Philadelphia Flyers, they've got some guys who can put the puck in the net. Just looking at their roster right here, Cam Atkinson, 4 goals in 4 games. Joel Farabee, 3 goals in 4 games. You've got Claude Giroux and Travis Konechny, both with 3 goals in 3 games. They've got the local goalie product, Carter Hart, between the pipes. And, you know, they've got some nice pieces on defense. Ivan Provorov, of course, a guy, you know, been around for a while. You know a lot about him. Or Ryan Ellis comes over from the National Predators. So, should be a lot of fun on Wednesday night when the Oilers take on the Philadelphia Flyers. Just going back to Saturday, though, thoughts from me on the game against the Golden Knights. And, you know, the Golden Knights were down a few big players, but they fought their tails off. And for the Edmonton Oilers, I mean, that was a tough earned win. Jason Strudwick said it today on the Jason Gregor Show. When you have a couple days off, you want to go out with a win, right? So you can be happy and celebrate and have a good time. So for the Oilers, big win on a Friday night. Zach Cassian with the big goal to get the win for the Oilers. That's his 3rd goal. And that's a big thing for Zach Cassian. Obviously, a couple few years for number 44 on the Oilers. But, you know, if you were one of those people that said he needs the fans to really get emotionally involved in it, maybe you were onto something, because he seems to be finding his groove with the Oilers, and that was a big goal. Mikko Koskinen obviously gets the start in back-to-back games, wins in the desert against the Coyotes and the Vegas Golden Knights, so good for him. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl obviously off to just ridiculous paces. So we'll talk about the Edmonton Oilers, of course, as we always do here on the Other Connor Podcast, and nobody better to do it with than Alan Mitchell. He is the host of The Lowdown with Low Tide, which you can hear on TSN 1260 Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till noon. You can also check his writing out at The Athletic. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Low Tide. Al, thanks so much for doing this today. How are you doing?
I'm very well. There's a hockey game on, you know, somewhere, and I'm happy. And there's football and baseball World Series tomorrow night, so Low Tide is happy.
Is this the best time in the sporting world, or like it can anything even rival this right now?
Not really. I think that the like basketball has started. You've got college football is underway. Hockey is well underway, and that's like, you know, 50 leagues. and so, you know, really from the time, like by noon, there's something happening usually. And then, you know, evening is like, forget about it, you know. So I think it is, because every sport is active and interesting, and I guess, you know, baseball, but then baseball has the winter meetings, and they're always a blast. So, yeah, this is a, you know, because everything's happening, it's the best time, I think.
And for the Edmonton Oilers, starting off the season 5-0, I think we can agree, pretty good times for the Edmonton Oilers. And I know there was an era where Oilers-Flyers meant a good hockey game coming up. I don't know how it's going to be when we see these two teams meet on Wednesday, but just going with the Oilers, the 5-0 start, would you have expected this at all? I mean, the Coyotes, yeah, you think there is a win, but going 5-0 even against an injured Vegas team, a pretty impressive start for this Oilers team.
Yeah, I think what impresses me the most, I was looking at it tonight earlier, and what impresses me the most about them is, you know, McDavid isn't scoring 5 points per 60 at 5-on-5. Or, you know, I mean, he's got great numbers and he will continue to. But the reality is that they're not relying on one or two players. The third line has been great. The second line hasn't scored a lot, but they haven't been outscored a lot. The top line is doing well. The power play is excellent. The defense has held, but they're not. I don't think there's. Maybe Bouchard, I guess, because of the way he's playing. But I don't feel like there's a lot of career years here. And those who have started slow will probably pick up on the hot things, like the third line, for instance. I don't think they're going to score every game. So I've been impressed that they're 5-0, but also, unlike, say, when Nikolai Habibulin stopped everything in sight before getting hurt his first year here, they seem to be playing well, but not outside their ability.
Well, we'll run through the lineup here and some of the things that we've seen so far, but Connor McDavid, we've got to start there. The captain leading the way, he's got 6 goals and only 5 games played. I mean, he's been outstanding, 13 points, obviously Leon Draisaitl doing those things as well. But has Connor McDavid added anything to his game that stood out to you? I know we've talked about the one-timers, but, you know, he just seems like every year he gets better, and it shouldn't surprise us, but continually I get amazed by him.
Well, I think he's got, number one, he has great desire to, you know, like score. He's all, like all great goal scorers or offensive players, when they score one, they want to do, you know, they want the next one. And so that has really bled into his shoot-first mentality. And I don't mean shoot-first. It's not like he's given up, you know, passing or anything. But compared to the McDavid we saw as a young player, like first couple or 3 years, this is a different player. And what I'm finding when I watch him is that he's trying to sneak the puck through. Maybe there's a little bit of a screen for the goalie, and he'll try to sneak it through. He's doing things that goal scorers do. Not that he wasn't before, but now he's doing it more often, and it really is paying off, because obviously he's off to a wonderful start.
When you saw that they made the switch and separated Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid going on the road, do you think that was something that obviously was going to come inevitably? And do you think that is the best way for this team to have success going forward, especially against tougher oppositions?
I think it's a great option to have, and I believe that as we go through the year, we might see it mid-game more than as, you know, starting the game. But I also think that there's a few things in play here. The road trip really was interesting because they played Hyman and Puljujärvi with McDavid more often, obviously, and that it feels like the chemistry is improving there. And it takes a while. Draisaitl and McDavid are, I mean, I'm sure they know where each other are, you know, even if their eyes are closed. They played, you know, so much together. That will take a little bit of time with Hyman. It's already, you know, developed over, you know, almost coming up on a year and a half, I guess, with Puljujärvi since he got back. And it'll take a little bit of time with Zach Hyman. But I like the idea of having a split apart. But I also understand from the point of view of the coach, if you look at their numbers together, McDavid and Draisaitl, it's almost a guaranteed one-goal advantage at 5-on-5 before you start the game. That's really hard to say no to. Like, it just is.
Zach Hyman, 5 goals on the season, that shooting percentage right now, 41.7, pretty impressive. Has there been anything about his game that has surprised you, or maybe you just didn't know he was quite that strong at?
You know, the thing that surprises me, and I said this the other day, and it's true. When you watch another team, you're watching, but you're not watching. And what I've been surprised about Hyman is everybody says, oh, he's got a, you know, he's relentless, he has a nonstop motor. He just doesn't give up. He will not give up. And it, to the point where it's irritating and agitating to the opponent. And I think that's something that he brought. And I guess what I'm surprised by is that it's not, you know, something he has to, you know, say, oh, I forgot to do that. It's just the way he is. And that's a great quality to have as a hockey player. He's not satisfied unless he has the puck. And when he has the puck, he's not satisfied unless he's driving to the net. And, you know, people say, well, you can't teach that. But I think it's more as opposed to a hockey skill. It's just his personality. He's dogged on the forecheck. When he gets the puck, he'll do absolutely everything he can to get to the net, and he does that every shift. And I think that there are moments when the opponents are like, oh God, this guy again, right? And that's good. And the Oilers haven't had that type of player for a while, so I don't know if I'm surprised, but I'm surprised it's so consistent.
Do you think that trait is infectious with the group?
I think once one line does it, it becomes easier, or you realize the benefits of. Like, the third line is also doing that this year. Like, they're a complete pain in the ass, and that in a good way. And it's not just Cassian. Fogel is far more physical than I thought he was, and Ryan is just a smart player, but he won't back down either. And so when you've got, you know, Hyman going out there and doing what he's doing, and then you have the third line coming out and doing what they're doing, and even Puljujarvi, he was never a quiet player, but I think he didn't realize his own strength, and he's sort of developing that. They're going to be a much harder team to play against come playoff time if they continue to play at this the hockey this way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's definitely realizing that he's got that big frame and continuing to build a mass on top of it. Alan Mitchell joining me here on the Other Connor podcast. You talked about that third line. Warren Fogle, Zach Cassian, to me, have been super fun to watch. That 37 just keeps popping up on the screen. Cassian now with 3 goals on the season, had the big goal in Vegas. And people would kind of talk about it. You know, Cassian, he needs fans in the building. He needs that to kind of get him going. And I would kind of roll my eyes, but now I'm kind of becoming a believer because he's amped up the game just a little bit. How much have you liked watching this third line?
Well, it's fun because they're effective and they're not, you know, what, and I like Cassian as a player, but one of his habits has been he'll go out of position to make a hit or he'll take a charge, and he has taken a couple of penalties that you'd like him not to, but the line itself seems to be pulling on the rope at the same time. They're interested in not just blowing up a player. They want to, you know, get in over the line, do some damage, make that other team work, tire out the defense, and if you can, score a goal. And what I forgot about Cassian, and it's a good lesson, I guess, is sometimes you forget how skilled he is when he has the puck. And his breakaway is an example of that. I loved his line about blocking out. But, you know, he's scored, you know, a couple of times in Edmonton. You know, he scored, whatever, 15, 17, I can't remember the total. He can score goals. And because of that, and because everything else he brings, if he can play on a disciplined line, and the third line is not as disciplined as you want, but they're better than they have been in the past, and especially if they can outscore 5-on-5, that's the key, then it's such a big boost to the Oilers. They're not giving everything away that McDavid and Draisaitl create when the third line comes out there. And they need the fourth line to develop, and it looks, you know, good so far, but you want it to develop more and more as time goes on. But it's very encouraging so far, the third line.
Well, looking at the defense now, and we're obviously seeing that Darnell Nurse will be playing with Evan Bouchard, something that I thought we would see maybe in the new year, maybe not so soon. What have you thought of Evan Bouchard's play to start the year off? And I guess at the same time, Tyson Barry and the lack of success that he's had early on.
Well, Bouchard is, what I love about him is that he's just a naturally talented player. And part of that talent is passing the puck and anticipating and being really creative with the puck. But he also has things to learn, and he appears to be a quick study. He early in the year, maybe even the first game, he got caught in bad position on the penalty kill, and the Oilers got scored on. He was behind the net. Nurse tracked his guy down to the behind the net, and Bouchard needed to check down to the front of the net and didn't do it. And as it turned out, the puck went back to the front and it ended up in the net. And I remember Coach Tippett talking about it in the post game afterwards. Since then, on the penalty kill, Bouchard has been money. He is devoted, singularly devoted, to keeping the puck between him and the Oilers net. And what that tells me is that the coaches have talked to him, and it's stuck. Whatever they said to him is stuck. And now he's been really successful since. Not to say the puck will never go in the net or that he won't make a mistake, but you always like to see a young player who has something to learn and something they can add, pick it up that quickly and then have it, like, you know, in the vault as something they're going to do from then on. I think he's just tipping the iceberg. I really do. I'm a big fan of Evan Bouchard.
Yeah.
As far as Barry is concerned, I think people, you know, fans I know are on him, but I just think there has to be a little bit of patience. He is a chaos defenseman, and sometimes when chaos defenseman goes sideways, it can look really bad, but he does bring a lot of things. He's a very fine passer. He can move the puck well. So those things are going to come in handy, too. It just hasn't been obvious these first five games. So I know people want to trade Barry. That's not going to happen. He'll be on the third pair for a while, but he might move up to the first pair, too. It's a long season, and Bouchard is a very young player, and you know, he might struggle, too. It's possible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and with Tyson Barrie, like, there's going to be moments where he's going to win people over because he's going to make those offensive plays. I was going to say, we had Evan Bouchard on the Jason Gregor show on Monday, and if you didn't hear it, head over to tsn1260.ca and give it a listen. Like, he's kind of sneaky funny. He's got a dry sense of humor, but very mature. Never had a speeding ticket, and I think we all know there's a bright future there for Evan Bouchard with the Oilers. I heard you and Jason Gregor talking today about the second pairing, Cody Ceci and Duncan Keith, and he brought up the statistic, 8%, was it 8% of their draws have been on the offensive zone, that's it?
Yeah, so I think that was Jason who said it, but
yeah.
they're playing that tough veteran role where you're getting the difficult zone starts. And the reason that's important is because it tells you, number one, that they're using the nurse Bouchard or Barry pairing. In the other way, they're putting them with the offensive zone starts, and that's where CeCe and Keith should be. They should be taking the tough minutes. They're veteran guys. But the fact that they are doing it, and their goal share is 50%, four goals, four and four against, that's good. If you have those kinds of zone starts and those kinds of tough defensive chores, then, you know, breaking even in the NHL means you're doing a hell of a job. So they played well, and they seem to be getting some chemistry. And their expected goals, which is a very interesting stat that basically measures the quality of shots and chances and gives you an idea about how much they should be scoring, is over 50%, and that's also a really good indicator. And it's not a pairing that I would have thought would have a great deal of success just based on their own past, but CeCe has played really well, and you know, he's played more like he did in Toronto and Pittsburgh than he did in Ottawa. And Keith, I think, has the backed off minutes. He doesn't play 23 minutes like he did in Chicago, and a little more structure, I think, have helped him as well. So that second pair was a concern going in. We're only five games in, but so far I think they've been okay.
I was going to say, like, I'm happy to see it. I love the positivity from the Oilers fan base and people saying, hey, maybe we overreacted when we got on Ken Holland for this one. But I still think I'm going to wait till maybe mid-November before I say this is a solid pairing. I want to see the game against the Winnipeg Jets. They go back-to-back. I want to see those. I want to see the game against the Boston Bruins, perhaps, and see how they fare against the depth in the Bruins lineup. Like, for me personally, I just want to give it a little more time before I'm totally comfortable, but I have liked what I've seen. Al, going between the pipes now, Mike Smith, we know he won't play on a Wednesday night, potentially could get back into the lineup on Saturday, but what have you thought of Mikko Koskinen so far?
He's played well, and he is what he is. Like, I think it was the third goal, and it might have been Nicholas Hague in Vegas from the blue line. It was a shot from quite a ways, quite a distance, and it beat him on the glove side. But that shot, it, you know, often in, for goaltenders, it either hits them or it goes in. And he doesn't have a great glove, but he's a gigantic guy, and he does have good positioning for most of the time. And where he got into trouble with Oilers fans was two reasons. Number one, he played every game to start the year last year, and that wore him down, and he wasn't as effective during that entire time that you would like him to be. And then he had that crazy four goals and four shots game, and that really killed his numbers and you know, made him less popular. But I think Koskinen can play in the National Hockey League. I don't know that the Oilers will trust him for another playoff, because Smith and Koskinen have played in two, and they've been ousted in the first round both times. They may want to upgrade there for the deadline, and Koskinen, because of his contract and the fact that it expires, he'd be the more likely player to go in a trade. But I like Koskinen. I think he's played well. I think the things that he does well, like be big, he's good at, and the glove is something that you know, fans are going to have to learn to deal with. And it's not a great glove, but I'm sure that he's working on it, and hopefully he'll steal a few games here down the stretch for the Oilers when the game is important or in the playoffs, and kind of regain his reputation, because I like him as a goaltender, and reading about him, but the difficulty he had last year with his family not being here, that would have been a really difficult time for him. So I'm cheering for him to have a really good year.
Yeah, me too. And so far, so good. Obviously, you got to watch the amount of starts that he'll get, but hopefully Mike Smith is healthy and they can work on that system, because Dave Tippett's done such a good job of finding the balance between the both of them. Al, final question for you here today. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Flyers in town, taking on the Oilers on a Wednesday, a team that four games played. They're 2-1-1, 5 points. That puts them last place in the Metro Division. If they were in any other division, they'd kind of be middle of the pack. But what do you think challenges they present for the Oilers on Wednesday night?
Well, they're an interesting team, because if they get goaltending, they're going to be trouble. And for Oilers fans who haven't seen the Flyers for a couple of years, there are going to be some players who've emerged. Well, everybody hasn't been watching that you want to pay, you know, really close attention to. I mean, Giroux and Couturier and Provorov are going to be familiar. Ryan Ellis is a veteran, but, you know, not a veteran Flyer, so that'll be interesting. But guys like Joel Farabee are unbelievable hockey players, and maybe not familiar necessarily live to the Oilers fan. If you watch them all the time, you'll see them. But I think if the Flyers can... if the Flyers can wheel like they have been able to in some games this year, and if that defense can move the puck up, I think there'll be trouble for the Oilers. And they're, you know, if they line match and get good opportunities against the third pair, I think that might be something that helps them as well. Playing the Oilers right now is no fun, though. So they, you know, it's going to be they're going to have to pack a lunch. It's going to be all day for them to win if they do. Oilers are going to play, I think, a tough game on Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, like you said, double anthem night. Can I be totally honest with you, Al? I didn't miss those.
Well, you know, I'm old, so I don't even think about them. If I'm watching on TV and the anthem's going on, that's when I get my beer. Like, and no disrespect, you know, I you know, sing the anthem, but that's when I go do that stuff. But at the games, it is, like, it's a long time. The anthems are, what, a couple of minutes each? There's a little bit, probably 5 minutes of that. So, but I miss seeing teams that are not Calgary, Vancouver, Ottawa, Winnipeg, Toronto, Montreal. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Philadelphia, because it's been a while since they've been here, and it'll be nice to see new players and new colors.
Absolutely. I mean, both great songs. I love both of their anthems, but I just want puck drop. That's me. I'm the newer generation of hockey fan, I guess. I just want the game immediately.
One thing I will say is that I don't want to get into it too much, but I was very disappointed it became political, and if that happens again, I think they just should shut the anthems down, because it's supposed to be a celebration, not something that is used in any way other than to celebrate each country. Both America and Canada are obviously very close together, and it should be that. It should be a celebration.
Elegant words, a great way to end this. Al, thanks so much for doing this. We'll have to get you on later on in the year.
Look forward. forward to it, Connor. Thank you.
Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I'd say this is a no-brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Excellent stuff from Alan Mitchell. He is the host of The Lowdown with Low Tide on TSN 1260, 10 a.m. till noon. You can also get his writing at The Athletic and give him a follow on Twitter at Low Tide, a good friend of mine, someone I've worked with a lot over the past, well, decade pretty much with TSN 1260. We worked together on the old Saturday show, and then I was a part of The Lowdown with Low Tide Monday through Friday for a few years there. So very thankful that Alan Mitchell was able to hop on and talk about those Edmonton Oilers. But of course, the Oilers will be taking on the Philadelphia Flyers on Wednesday night. So we had to go to Philadelphia and talk to someone who knows a lot about that team. Jordan Hall covers the team for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Jordan, thanks so much for doing this today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing really good, and I mean, this NHL season, still very early, obviously, but it's been a lot more fun, and for you, someone who covers the team here, I mean, it's got to be so great to have fans back in the arena.
It has, especially the Flyers. They've opened with a four-game homestand before this Western Canada trip they're on, and it was refreshing to have mostly a full house, passionate fans. You could tell the players fed off of it. The fans are so important. Really, they drive the whole thing. So just to have them back and feel like, you know, teams are going to have a home ice advantage again, and teams are going to have to go on the road and play in tough environments. Like, that's what the sport is all about. I think it really makes certain teams stand out more than others. So for the Flyers to open with a four-game homestand, it was really, really neat. Just to have that that feeling again, and to have it for four straight games.
Now, how has the season been so far? Obviously, the last game that the team played, you know, the 4-2 loss to the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers seem to be beating up on everyone so far. But just how's the season gone when it comes to, you know, the expectations you had going into this season?
Yes, the challenge for the Flyers, they face the Panthers, who were unbeaten, and now they get the unbeaten Oilers at 5-0-0. But the Flyers, I think, so far so good. The homestand helped, and they've really gotten back to the style that Elaine Vigneault wants them to play. And that's north-south, forecheck-oriented, live in the offensive zone, and they've shown those glimpses again. They lost that last year. They totally got away from it. They allowed more goals in hockey than anyone else. They had the 30th-ranked PK. But they had a busy and active offseason. If you include the two players they recently claimed off of waivers, they have 9 new faces. So they're a different-looking team than last year, and they're getting back to the way they want to play, and that's being really strong in your defensive group, solid goaltending, and opportunistic goal scoring up front. So far they've done that. They've had a couple stiff challenges, Panthers being one of them, but they were able to get points in 3 of those 4 games. So overall I think they would take that, and a lot of it's about, you know, gelling and building chemistry with so many new faces. And so far, I think they've done that.
Yeah, I mean, the new faces, obviously, there's a few that stand out, and I'm going to ask you about them and what Oilers fans can expect, because it's been so long since these two teams have gone head-to-head here. But I'm just looking at the statistics here, and you've got Joel Farabee, who's got 3 goals, Cam Atkinson, 4 goals, Claude Giroux, Travis Konecny, 3 goals apiece. Like, it looks like the big names are producing early on this season.
They are, and they've gotten the goal scoring that they were hoping for. Cam Atkinson was acquired via trade, and everyone knew about his goal scoring ability and his ability to kill penalties and be a threat shorthanded, and he's done that. He's already scored a shorthanded goal. He's got 4 through 4 games overall, and that's exactly what the Flyers were hoping from him. Joel Farabee, led the team in goal scoring last year as a 21-year-old, and he hasn't missed a beat. He's doing exactly what the team has hoped for. Some of the new acquisitions, like Derek Brassard, has been really good. Ryan Ellis, real formidable on the back end, playing in all situations. So they've gotten good signs from a lot of their new faces, and Carter Hart has looked a lot like the Carter Hart from 2019-20, excuse me. He was not the same guy last year, went through a lot. So far, he's been solid. So they've gotten a lot of the contributions I think they were hoping for. It's only four games, but when you get it early and you don't have to doubt yourself or wonder about, you know, were these good acquisitions or how would they fit in or how long will it take, that's a positive. They haven't had to worry about that. So they've gotten the goal scoring, and their goal prevention has been better than it was last season. So I think the Flyers overall, from management to the coaching staff and really to the fans, I think everyone would take what they've gotten so far.
When it comes to Ryan Ellis, a guy that Oilers fans are very aware of, not only from his time in Nashville, but obviously the international level, man, the guy was a star at the World Juniors for a long time. He's currently listed as day-to-day undisclosed injury. Any guesses to when he might return, or could it be Wednesday?
I believe it will be Wednesday. I think he'll be good to go. He practiced on Monday today. He's going to practice Tuesday up in Edmonton, and then they're going to make a decision. But I have a feeling he'll be good to go. I know he doesn't like missing a lot of games. When he missed Saturday's game against the Panthers, I think the Flyers were really looking at the big picture there. Obviously, it's early in the season, and I think they viewed it as he missed practice on Friday. If he missed the game Saturday, which he did, and then had Sunday, that's 3 days with him off the ice to really nurse that injury. I think the Flyers know how valuable he is, and I think he knows how much he wants to be out there for a game like the Edmonton Oilers to start a road trip. So I believe he'll be in the lineup Wednesday. I think they're trending in that direction to get him back, and he's awfully important. He's their top pair guy along Ivan Provorov. He plays in all situations. The Flyers were missing a top pair defenseman all of last year. It's why their season went awry. He's been the guy to fill those shoes. And the Flyers need him, and I think they're going to get him Wednesday night.
Now, you talked about Ivan Provorov, and that's a guy, I mean, I feel like I'm on loop here, just these players that Oilers fans are familiar with. But when he played with the Brandon Wheat Kings, obviously, man, he wreaked havoc on the Edmonton Oil Kings back then. You know, and obviously a highly drafted player, been a constant with the Flyers. How's he progressed in the last couple of years here? Because I know when he was drafted, there was those expectations to be kind of that top-pairing elite defenseman at the NHL level.
There were big expectations, and so far he's met them for the most part. Maybe some people envisioned him being a little more offensive. He's been just real solid offensively, but he's a workhorse. He's never missed a game. He's on an Ironman streak ever since he was a 19-year-old rookie, so he's never missed a game. He plays massive minutes. He's now turned into a power play guy, and he kills penalties. So he eats up minutes, and he does a lot for the Flyers. I know entering Sunday, he had led the league in block shots. So it's a guy that does everything, and he's also willing to do the dirty stuff like block shots, kill penalties, play really tough minutes. So he's been real solid offensively. I don't think he's really blossomed there yet. I think there's still some more ceiling-wise for him to play and score more offensively. But the Flyers just really rely on him, and they believe with Ryan Ellis on his hip that he's going to be a lot better player. Last year, he wasn't the same guy, but none of the Flyers were. And I think he felt a lot of pressure on his shoulders. Once they lost Matt Niskanen and didn't have him last year, Provorov wore a lot on his shoulders, and I think he started to feel the effects of that. They believe with Ryan Ellis here, Provorov will be the guy again that they had in 2019-20 and the years before that. So, but again, just a true workhorse, a guy that you can rely on, and you're going to see him out there. Any second you think he might be hurt, he's back out on the ice for his next shift. So a real tough guy and still growing.
Now, I do have to ask you about Carter Hart, obviously the guy from the Edmonton area, I think specifically Sherwood Park, but we like to just loop that in as Edmonton. Looks like he'll get the start Wednesday night when the Flyers take on the Oilers. And you talked a little bit about it last year. There were some struggles, and he actually was on the show I work with, the Jason Greger show on TSN 1260, and talked about how tough it was, you know, just kind of being alone and, you know, playing hockey during a pandemic. Obviously, it was a very weird thing. But what have you noticed maybe changes in him from last year to this year, kind of finding and getting back into the groove?
I think he missed, it sounds cliche and almost silly, but I think he just missed the enjoyable aspects of the game. And that's, you know, being at the rink around the guys, going out and bonding off the ice, being around fans. That day-to-day stuff was completely missing, and you forget sometimes how young he is. Like, he came onto the scene so early. He came on as a 20-year-old and had instant success, and then suddenly he's winning a playoff series over Carey Price and the Canadiens, and you forget sometimes how young he is. And last year, here's a kid that's 22 years old, and he's away from his family and friends. Obviously, as you mentioned, he's from Sherwood Park, so he's totally away from family and friends. He's living on his own during a pandemic. And if you have a bad game, what happens? Instead of being around people and maybe being around your support system, you're going home and you're living by yourself, and you're probably in your own thoughts and just letting a bad performance eat at you mentally. And I think it just kind of piled up. And with the lack of practice time and just the playing the same team over and over again, I think it just kind of snowballed on him. And it was really his first taste of adversity. And I think it was way more mental than it was physical. Do I think he tweaked a lot of things this offseason and harped on some areas? 100%. He's admitted that. But he won't tell us too much, understandably so. He doesn't want to give away too much. But I think a lot of it was mental more than it was physical. I think this offseason and this summer back home in Edmonton really was a reset for him. I know people said that a lot, but truly, I think he needed a reset. He needed time away. And now I think he's back and just feeling like himself again. He's enjoying the game. And I think he's grown from it. I think he's matured from it. And just a real young, smart guy that works hard, wants to be better. And I think the sense of normalcy in this season is just going to do wonders for him.
Jordan, just a couple more questions for you. I really appreciate you hopping on the podcast here today. Rasmus Ristolainen, a guy who was pretty polarizing on his time with the Buffalo Sabres. I know he was a name that people kind of mentioned out here as, you know, potentially could he be an Edmonton Oiler one day. Some people liked the idea. Others hated the idea. I know it's early with his time in Philly, but how's it gone so far?
So far, so good. He opened with an injury, so he got hurt in their preseason finale, missed some time, missed the first two games. He was really chomping at the bit to get back in there. But they were taking it slow with him, but his physicality, his style of play really resonates with the fan base here. And they missed that last season. They didn't have a real physical guy that could really intimidate guys when they get to the areas like the net or they're going back on a puck. There's times where he's going to, you know, maybe have a mistake coverage-wise, or maybe he tends to puck watch at times. But when he can connect with the puck carrier and he can really use his physicality, he's fun to watch. He's effective in that way. So he's only two games in to his Flyers tenure, but he does bring a nastiness, and the Flyers missed that last year. A lot of people thought they weren't tough to play against, and that doesn't have to be just being an enforcer or being a goon out there, and then that's not what they're asking him to do. But if he agitates the opposition and he's an intimidating force, the Flyers want that. They'll take that. And I think that's a lot of what he brings, and I think we're going to see that more and more. And the Flyers simply didn't have it last season.
All right, Jordan, my final question for you, and I may be incorrect here, but I believe if my research is right, the last time these two teams met, October 17th, 2019, obviously, we're familiar with the big names on this Philly team, but who are some players to watch out for that maybe kind of float under the radar?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. That was Alain Vigneault's fifth game as Flyers head coach. Now this will be his 130th. So it's been a while since they've seen the Oilers. I know they're getting ready for the Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl show. I know the last time they had met in Edmonton, it did not go well for the Flyers. But some guys I would say to keep an eye on, Joel Farabee certainly won. He was not in that game. I think he made his debut a couple games after that. So Farabee would be a kid to watch. Just real smart player, can score goals, plays in all situations, well beyond his years. A fun player that I think teams are really going to start to have an eye on this year, but just really plays beyond his years. So Joel Farabee would certainly be one for me. And another guy I would say keep an eye on is Travis Sanheim. He hasn't had the start I think Flyers fans and the team have wanted, but they have a lot more experience now in their back end, and I think it's eventually going to do some really good things for Travis Sanheim. They rely on him a lot. He can play 20-plus minutes. He'll kill penalties. So Travis Sanheim will be another guy I would say keep an eye on. Still a younger defenseman that I think growing into still growing into his NHL build, but a guy that the Flyers are going to want to see more from, and I think there's some pressure on him to really start playing a bigger game. And when you look at Edmonton and what they can do from a goal-scoring standpoint, they're going to need all six of their defensemen to play up to par. And Sanheim is a guy that I think hasn't really met the expectations through the early going of this season. He struggled last year, so I would keep an eye on him, good or bad. They're going to want to keep an eye on Travis Sanheim.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun a Wednesday night down at the Ice District. Jordan, thanks so much for doing this today. I really appreciate it.
Connor, I really appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
Great stuff from Jordan Hall of NBC Sports Philadelphia covering the Philadelphia Flyers. Give him a follow on Twitter at JHallNBCS. Of course, the Oilers taking on the Flyers on Wednesday. Of course, that is why we had Jordan on the podcast here today. That one gets going at 8 o'clock Mountain Time. So if you are going to be watching that one, staying up a little bit later, of course, and you want some pregame coverage, tune into TSN 1260 starting at 6 o'clock. Tom Gazzola, Matt Cassian, and myself will have you covered with the pregame coverage. Should be a fun game, as we've talked about here. The Philadelphia Flyers, they've got some talent on that team. It's going to be a fun group to see. Carter Hart, you know, the hometown product. Will he get the start? We'll have to wait and see what happens with that one, but should be a lot of fun on a Wednesday night. After that, the Oilers out of action until Saturday when they take on the Vancouver Canucks. That's another late one, another 8 o'clock start, but Hockey Night in Canada, Saturday game, a little bit easier to swallow. And that's just about going to do it for us here on the Other Connor Podcast. A few notes from practice on Monday. Mike Smith in track pants was out there, so not taking shots or anything like that, but obviously going out there for a little bit of a spin. From what we've heard, he felt okay. Not going to be in the lineup on a Wednesday. That's going to be Mikko Koskinen getting the start between the pipes, but potentially could be back out there on Saturday when the Oilers take on the Canucks. Another note from practice, Evan Bouchard practicing with Darnell Nurse on that top pairing. A good sign for Evan Bouchard, the Oilers' first-round pick a couple years ago. Maybe not such a good sign for defenseman Tyson Barrie, who has had a bit of a slow start to the season. I don't think the intensity is where it has been needed to be, but he started off slow last year and picked it up eventually. So we'll see what happens in the final 77 games of the regular season. Lots of time to get back on stride. And that goes for Kyler Yamamoto as well, another guy who's taken a little bit of a beating on social media from Oilers fans. Lots of time to get it going, and you know, when you're losing, that can be a real big deal. There's got to be moves made, but the Oilers still undefeated, 5-0 on the season. Hopefully they'll find a way to bounce back. That's going to do it for another edition of the Other Connor Podcast. Got to thank our sponsor, DraftKings. Sign up today, use promo code THPN. Also, the Hockey Podcast Network. Lots of great podcasts on the Hockey Podcast Network for any team that you want to follow along with, so check them out. Big thank you to our guest, Alan Mitchell, the host of the Lowdown with Low Tide. You can give him a follow on Twitter as well, at Low Tide. And, of course, Jordan Hall from Philadelphia covers the Philadelphia Flyers with NBC Sports Philadelphia. Give him a follow on Twitter, at JHallNBCS. That's it for the show today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. My name's Connor Halley. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Connor Halley. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Other Connor Podcast. New shows drop every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts from.